May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 290. Dangers of every shape and name attend the followers of the Lamb, who leave the world's deceitful shore and leave it to return no more. Hymn 290.
Together from the Word of God, from two portions of Scripture. First, the book of Genesis, chapter 6. The book of Genesis, chapter 6. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Jephthah. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make into the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third story shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee, and of every living thing of all flesh, to of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Will you please turn to the book of Job, chapter 17. Job chapter 17. My breath is corrupt, my days are extinct, the graves are ready for me. Are there not mockers with me? And doth not mine eye continue in their provocation? Lay down now. Put me in a surety with thee. Who is he that will strike hand with me? For thou hast hid their heart from understanding. Therefore shalt thou not exalt them. He that speaketh flattery to his friends, even the eyes of his children shall fail. Hath made me also a byword of the people, and aforetime I was as a tabret. Mine eye also is dim by reason of sorrow, and all my members are as a shadow. Upright men shall be astonished at this, and the innocent shall stir up himself against the hypocrite. The righteous also shall hold on his way, and he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. But as for you all, do ye return and come now, for I cannot find one wise man among you. My days are past, my purposes are broken off, even thoughts of my heart. They change the night into day. The light is short because of darkness. If I wait, the grave is mine house. I have made my bed in the darkness. I have said to corruption, thou art my father. To the worm, thou art my mother and my sister. And where is now my hope? As for my hope, who shall see it? They shall go down to the bars of the pit when our rest together is in the dust. The Lord bless to us the reading of his word and help us to pray. Kind and merciful and ever gracious Lord God, we're once again favoured and spared to come and gather together here in thy house this morning hour. And we desire, dear Lord, to come indeed and exalt and praise thy name for all thy goodness and kindness thus to us. And for mercies countless of the sands, the psalmist said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits toward us. Lord, we would not forget thy mercies and favours and benefits. Lord, one great mercy and benefit is that we're still found on praying ground. We're not being cut off and cast off, where our sins so richly deserve. We're still found on praying ground. Thy mercies then are truly very great. Since then thou hast spared us thus, may we, by thy grace, thy help, redeem the time, because the days are evil. Then, Lord, do help us. But we do thank thee, Lord, for the many mercies and favours and blessings, both in providence and grace. Thy mercies are so great and many, we are at times, we trust, overcome with a sense of thy goodness and kindness. The health, the strength, and the use of the natural faculties, the beds that we lie on, the roof over our heads, the warm homes. Oh, we do thank thee for all thy mercy. Oh, our clothing, our food, our daily needs abundantly supplied. So, Lord, the list goes on. And oh, we do thank thee, Lord, for all these things. And we pray that thou wilt help us to truly appreciate thy goodness and kindness to us. And Lord, we pray that as thou hast seen fit now to spare us to see another Sabbath day, that thou wilt bless this day to us. Oh, that it may be the time to be remembered. We may know the blessing of God that makes rich. Our Lord, it is often pleaded and has been already, Lord, that the sun of righteousness might shine forth into our hearts this day. Then, Lord, do come. Do hear and answer prayer. The prayers, Lord, that have been put up unto thee by thy people here, Lord, for a blessing, for the blessing of God that makes rich, blessing for our souls. Maybe, Lord, they've been concerned and praying about themselves, they've been praying about others. Been praying and bearing one another before thee at the throne of grace and the footstool of mercy. Praying for thy goodness to be made known, thy love to be shed abroad in our hearts. For the peace of God that passeth all knowledge and understanding. For all the riches of thy grace. Then, dear Lord, do come and do abundantly bless. Oh, we thank thee for the house of God. Thank thee for the means of grace. Thank thee for the open Bible. The Bible that we can read in our own language. Lord, we do bless thee for all these things. And we pray thou help us still. And Lord, and may it be, Lord, when we go home, if spared, to our homes after chapel tonight. Lord, that we may be like those two on the road to Emmaus and say, and did not our heart burn within us whilst he talked with us by the way? Oh, may we feel thy presence. May we feel that we this day have met with Jesus and he has met with us and that he has been in divine control. Thy Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, do then come and do abundantly bless. Oh, we're asking for some great things, but we don't ask for anything that thou art not able to give and yet grant. We're asking, Lord, for things we cannot produce or make ourselves. So we look unto thee and pray that thou art hear and regard our poor prayers now. Lord, we do indeed bow our head before thee in confession of our sin and guilt. Many sins belong to us, many transgressions, faults, failings, sins, iniquities abound. We ask that thou wilt forgive all, dear Lord, we pray, and wash and cleanse us in that precious fountain. Oh, we are so thankful to read in thy word that there is a fountain open for sin and uncleanness to the house of David and inhabitants of Jerusalem. And Lord, and what we plead is that thou wilt come and take each of us and plunge us in that crimson ocean, thy atonement made for sin. We may be clean, we may humbly be able to say, I am clean, just God, I am clean, in and through the merits of thy dear Son. Lord, there is salvation nowhere else other than the shed blood of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. that Lord and Paul wrote to us in thy word, that he preached Jesus Christ and him crucified. Then, Lord, may it be so here this day. Now, Lord, again we pray thou remember this little cause of truth and do bless them together and do bind them together in love and unity in the bond of peace, and do make thy goodness pass before them in the way and be very gracious to them. Lord, there's little ones here as well as those that are older. Lord, and whether they're old or whether they're young, they have an ever-dying soul. And oh, that each one may have a desire after Christ and to know him whom to know is life eternal. One says, to know my Jesus crucified by far excels all things beside. All earthly good I count but loss and triumph in my Saviour's cross. Knowledge of all terrestrial things near to my soul, true pleasure brings no peace, but in the Son of God no joy but through his pardoning blood. And dear Lord, do bless. And Lord, we do pray thou wilt bless the dear children, the instruction given to them by their parents, and that, Lord, which takes place in the Sabbath school also. Do bless, we pray. Oh, that there may be a seed sown in their hearts that one day will bring forth that fruit to thy glory and thy praise. Then do be very near, we pray. Do abundantly bless. We ask and pray thou remember older ones then and bless them. Lord, and any that feel, Lord, to be out of the way, Lord, do be very gracious to them. Oh, and give them to feel that their names are indeed found recorded in some humble place beneath the Lord the Lamb. Be near them, Lord Jesus. Do abundantly bless. Help us then to pray one for another. Pray for our dear friends here that hold office. Undertake for them and do bless them indeed. Help them in all their cares, burdens, responsibilities. May they be helped and able to commit all into thy hand. Cast all their care upon thee and prove that he cares for them. Lord, do we have prayer for them here. Do bless them. Lord, we have helped a few times, Lord, been here at a prayer meeting, and Lord, and there's been prayer for a pastor. Oh, we ask, Lord, that those prayers may be heard and answered, that thou art, Lord, so direct thy people here, and so direct one also, Lord, to come here, to take up the burden, Lord, the burden of souls. Lord, to thine honour, glory and praise. Gracious Lord, do help. Lord, it's often been said and we've often thought, Lord, why, Lord, here indeed is a flock of sheep and of lambs. But Lord, there's no real under-shepherd. Oh, dear Lord, do appear for them. We ask and pray thou remember and bless then each and all. And we pray thou remember thy people that are elsewhere and some here, Lord. They walk in bereavement's path. Do comfort their hearts. Do graciously support them, abundantly bless them. May they not mourn as those that mourn without hope. Oh, that they may have that sweet comfort in their hearts that is well with their dear departed ones. Then, Lord, there are others that are found in sickness and affliction's path. We pray thy healing hand and restoration to health and strength, asking thee, dear Lord, to lead and guide them and do direct. Lord, do uphold and put thy healing hand upon them, we pray thee. Bless means used to their restoration and their recovery. Some, Lord, they're afflicted in body, some afflicted in mind. Lord, and we do pray for them. Oh, do have mercy upon them. Some, Lord, may be afflicted in body and mind. Lord, we do ask then that thou help. Oh, that may be healing of the body, the mind, and the soul. Gracious Lord, do work in their hearts. We pray thou remember others in deep trials, troubles, and difficulties. Those that don't know what to do, which way to go, which way to turn. But may they be like a dear Jehoshaphat, and look up unto thee. Oh, and our eyes are up unto thee, O Lord. Well, then, dear Lord, do abundantly bless, do make a way, do provide. And oh, that they may find and prove that they do not need to fight in this battle. This battle is not theirs, it is the Lord's. Be near. Then, Lord, we do pray that remember prodigals, some, Lord, that have left and forsaken the house of God. Sadly, they're in our family circles. But, Lord, we pray that we may be given grace to pray for them in sincerity and in truth, that thou wouldest turn their hearts and their affections again to the things of God, to things that matter, the things of eternity. And pray, dear Lord, that thou remember some are young and some are old. Lord, and whether they're young or old, dear Lord, do put forth thy hand. Do pluck them as brands from the burning. Do help us. Help us to pray for our nation. Appear for us. Lord, we have an election in a few months' time, if thy will. Oh, that we may have men and women that fear thy name, return to a new parliament. Men and women that know what England ought to do. And that, Lord, may not be afraid of saying so. Hear then our prayers. Lord, and thou knowest the evil that abounds in this poor, wicked world. Do have mercy upon us. Oh, gracious Lord, do arise. Lord, we think of those that are so cruelly persecuted. Have mercy upon them. Gracious Lord, do help them and be very near to them. Oh, visit their souls. Bless them abundantly. Oh, they may know and have thy loving kindness shed abroad in their hearts. Gracious Lord, help them. Lord, it makes us think of ourselves and how would we stand. Then, dear Lord, do graciously help. Do be with us. Then we thank thee for all the mercies and favours. We pray for pardon of every sin. And we ask and pray now, dear Lord Jesus, thou wilt come and be found here in our midst this day. Be the master of the assembly here now. And come, dear Lord, and fulfil thy gracious word and thy blessed promise. Thou hast said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Come and open one's mouth, touch my lips with that live coal from off that heavenly altar. As we played, the dear woman who cried, Lord, help me. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn 297. Jehovah has said, 'tis left on record, The righteous are one with Jesus the Lord. At all times he loves them. 'Twas for them he died. Yet oft times he proves them. For grace must be tried. Hymn 297. Thank you.
in dependence upon Thee, Lord, for all needed help. I ask your very prayerful attention to the chapter we read in the book of Genesis, chapter 6. And I ask your very prayerful attention to verse 8. Genesis 6, verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is a very, very solemn chapter, is it not? It speaks here in this chapter of the wickedness and the violence and the evil that was in the earth in the days of Noah. And it could easily be written for the 1st of March 2015. The things that are recorded here are the same as what we witness in our land. Sin, wickedness, idolatry is everywhere. You used to have an old man, a deacon at Croydon, and he used to pray something like this: Lord, forgive us of the iniquity that runs down our streets like water. Doesn't it? Certainly does. Why, the dear Lord Jesus speaks, as he nodded, the last days, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be when the Son of Man cometh. They will give in and take it in marriage. In other words, as it reads here, and they took them wives of all which they chose. How many children today, they don't know how many grandparents they've got. The parents that they have are not bound in wedlock. Oh, yes, and so, friends, we could go on with this sad, sad catalogue of sin that is found in our midst. And why? And God saw the wickedness. And verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created. The Lord has promised that the world shall not be destroyed again with a flood. But we are told very clearly that the world will be destroyed by fire. And indeed, the dear Lord Jesus, why, he went into the temple, didn't he? And they asked him, when shall these things be? And he said to them, this, take heed, no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Ye shall hear of wars and rumours of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Goes on. These are the beginning of sorrows. There be many false prophets. And he tells us very clearly, be ye also ready. For the day cometh wherein the Son of Man shall come as a thief in the night. There are all those things that will come to pass. And they may indeed all suddenly come to pass. Yes, I know, you know, that these things have been spoken about now for a long, long while. All your life and all mine. Yes, dear Sarlene, you can go back here to the New Testament. The Apostle Paul spoke about them. Christ spoke about them. But the Word of God will not fail. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. We are told also, are we not, that there are days of persecution. And surely those days are upon us. I was talking early this morning, and some years ago now, more than 40 years ago, I heard one of God's servants speak about days of persecution coming to this land. Well, yes, and I was 50 years younger than I am now. 40 years younger. And I thought, this man is a bit of an alarmist. But he's not. He wasn't. He was speaking the truth. He's speaking of that which would surely come to pass. And I don't wish anyone here this morning to think that I am being an alarmist. I'm here, I trust, as God's servant, to do exactly what the Word of God tells us to do here in the book of the prophet Joel. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. The day of darkness, the day of gloominess, a day of clouds, a thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire shall devour them, behind them a flame burneth. Yes, why, the days of persecution. We hear things today. It was only last year on our holiday with my dear wife. We were in South Wales. Went to a chapel there. And the minister spoke of people in Northern Korea, where those that believed in the Bible, in the Lord Jesus, had stones put into their mouths so they couldn't speak, so they couldn't utter anything, and then shot. And on the present day, these things are not pleasant, but this is where we are. This is where we are. The persecution in Iraq and Syria, the present moment. The ISIS movement. Murder innocent women and children. All those children have got to do and say is that they don't believe in the Lord Jesus. And they'll be safe. They won't be shot. They won't be murdered. But they don't. They don't. But what does God's word say? What does the Lord Jesus say? We're not to fear them. But we are to fear him who hath power to cast both body and soul into hell. Those dear children that are thus murdered in such brutality, why, they're the Lord's people. They're in heaven. They're in glory. And unless the Lord changes the heart of those persecutors, they won't be there. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There was Noah, his wife, three sons and their wives. See, it reads, doesn't it, elsewhere in the Word of God, that there shall be a remnant according to the election of grace. Dear soul, does your heart and mine go out in the language of the hymn writer, dear Lord, numbered with them may I be now and throughout eternity. Is to be one of this remnant here in Noah's day. It seems that Noah then was and his house was the only ones that feared God. The only ones that sought the Lord. You know, what an inscription for a gravestone for any one of us. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But yes, to have your name and my name there, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. On our tombstone, found grace. Well, all those solemn things, solemn thoughts, and we really have only just but briefly mentioned them. But this word, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. How did Noah find grace? Perhaps that's the question that someone here this morning asks. How did Noah find grace? The free, unmerited mercy and favour of the blessed Lord. He found grace. He needed grace. And so do you, and so do I. Otherwise, your lot and mine will be with those that are found here, drowned in the world of sin and iniquity. To be found where hope and mercy can never come. Find grace. Noah found grace. Why, it's, shall we say, it's a very, very short text, and yet it takes in, and in it there is the whole of salvation of a poor dying man or woman. Noah found grace. First of all, there's the blessed work of the Holy Spirit of God. Yes, man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. And a man is born in sin and iniquity. But what a mercy if the Lord, as he did with Noah, that he may do so with you and myself, that he may shine into our heart. Yes, and to show us, yes, what evils are found there. You know, it's very easy for us, and I dare say that we're all at times verily guilty of looking at others and saying, how dreadful this one and that one is, and this one and that one has been. But let's look again and see what else God's word says. God's word says this to us in the prophecy of Ezekiel. Turn thine eyes within, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. That causes a for self-examination, doesn't it? That causes for self-examination. And indeed, when we do, as I humbly believe that some in here have turned their eyes within, in a spiritual sense, and seen a greater abominations in their own heart. And why? And then such are ready to say with the hymn writer, here on my heart the burden lies, and past offences pain mine eyes. Here on my heart. Yes, you know, it's divine teaching. It's divine teaching. It's the Holy Spirit working, showing, opening up your heart and mind so that we cease to cast stones at others, so that we cease to look and condemn others for their sin and their actions, for their wrongdoings. Oh, and we look within ourselves. And we have to come. Oh, and to, yes, and to be brought with real godly sorrow and repentance. But this thought just comes to mind before we go too fast. You may in your daily lives, doubtless some of you, you have to mix with others at work and so on. And there may be those that will, they speak like this, and it, I don't mix with the world in that respect today, but I used to hear things like this and it made me tremble. And perhaps it makes you tremble. And they would say, well, I know I'm wrong, and I know I'm a sinner, and I know I do things wrong, and I know where I'm going when I die, down there, into the pit. They know where they're going. They know they're going on that downward road to hell, and they're totally, utterly unconcerned about it. I hope that's not the case with anyone here. But I remember more than once this being said. Oh, and it used to fill me with dread. I shuddered. Some of it I heard when I was in the Air Force. That's well over 50 years ago. And the world hasn't changed. It hasn't got any better. Evil men wax worse and worse. Oh, yes, and why, and such statements may come from sometimes very respectable people. Very respectable people. But there's no fear of God before their eyes. Let me put it to you now. Yes. Have you got any fear of God before your eyes? So that hearing such a statement, how would you feel? Would it make you tremble? Would it cause a cry to come out of your heart? A cry for mercy? Would it cause a cry for the Lord to save me from the burning lake? Save me from death, destruction, and despair. Save me from where hope and mercy can never come. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah then became a praying man. have you, have I become a praying man, a praying woman, a praying lad, a praying lass? A praying boy, a praying girl. A realization, yes, that death is now upon the road. Pause, my soul, and ask the question, art thou ready to meet God? Am I made a real Christian, washed in thee, Redeemer's blood? Have I union to the church's living head? I've told you before, I repeat it, if you'll excuse it. When the old deacon at Carshalton gave that hymn out, One Lord's Day, in those days they used to read each verse, when he got to that last verse, but if still a total stranger to his precious name and blood, thou, he might just as well have read out my name. Thou art on the brink of danger. Canst thou face a holy God? Think and tremble. Death is now upon the road. Not getting very far, are we? But Noah found grace. And if that, those words there in that hymn of William Gadsby, if they cause you and I to tremble at his word, at this subject matter before us here in this chapter, and indeed throughout the Bible, and the words of Christ, that day will come. Well, and to tremble, and to begin, to pray. Perhaps someone says, but I don't know how to begin. Are you going to try? Are you going to try? Or are you going to say, well, once this service is over, we shan't hear any more about that for a good while? Don't be so sure. I've not a clue who comes here next Lord's Day, but he might come with the same message. And that is completely unpremeditated, what I've just said. But are you going to try? Are you going to venture? Are you going to shut that closet door? Are you going to get down on your knees? Are you going to go to that bedroom window? Yes. And look towards his holy temple. And when you see all those stars in the sky, are you going to say there is no God? Are you going to say all these things are a myth? Or are you going to say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner?
Well, you begin there, dear soul. You begin there. Because, dear soul, if you begin there with your heart up unto the Lord, you are on praying ground. And although you might not think it, and you might not believe it, and you might not receive it, you will have already found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Psalm 102 reads like this. The poor man went into the temple and cried, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Well, you'll say, well, he hadn't got anything. No, he certainly had not. What he'd got was a wicked heart, a heart that he knew was full of sin and iniquity and transgression and faults and failings and so on. But what does Psalm 102 say then? That he will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. Yes. One says those feeble desires, those wishes so weak, 'tis Jesus inspires and bids thee still seek. That man that went into the temple to pray thus, what did Jesus say about him? And this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. He went down to his house justified rather than the other. The other, thank God, he was made so good. And he wasn't as other men were, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as if publican. The poor publican would not so much as lift up his eyes to heaven. And perhaps, poor soul, you also do not so much as lift up your eyes toward heaven. But you cry, oh, for the Lord to have mercy upon your poor, never-dying soul. It's here on my heart, Lord, the burden lies, and past offences pain mine eyes. But Noah found grace. Perhaps, dear soul, you say, it's mercy I want. It's mercy I need. Yes, and there's all, and so it is. But it's the work of God's grace in the heart. Yes, there's all, it's the work of God's grace in the heart. Why, you read a little earlier here. I think it's here in Chapter 4, it reads, and men began to pray. That's before the flood. Men began to pray. Did all of you begun to pray? You begun to pray? That feeble desire, yes, dear soul, you may be down there in your bedroom, the door shut, yes, and your heart silent so as no one can hear you, but your heart is up unto the Lord. You're looking heavenward. And you're crying, for the Lord for mercy. And you want the Lord to speak to your never-dying soul. You're like dear Job. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even unto his seat. What are you going to come? What are you going to say this? Oh, when you get there, you're going to say, Lord, have mercy upon my poor never-dying soul. Noah found grace. Noah found grace. The Lord, he begins his mighty work of grace, and it is a mighty work of grace. It conquers the things of this poor dying world. Yes, some of you, dear younger friends, why, if the Lord spares you, perhaps you've got 30, 40, 50, maybe 60 years in front of you before you get to the age of old age. But dear soul, there is but one thing that is needful. And I without him perish must. See, it's to know him. It's to know Christ. It's to know the Lord as your Saviour, your Redeemer, your all and in all. I can do all things. Oh, if only the Lord would come and bless my soul. If only the Lord would speak peace and pardon to my poor never dying, forgive all my sins. Lord, I've got such a huge amount of sin and iniquity in my heart. And Lord, and I don't know how to carry on with it, and I cannot get rid of it. Noah found grace.
He heard the words of peace and pardon.
And dear soul, so will you. Blessed be his glorious name. The time of love will come. When thou shalt surely say, not only that he shed his blood, but thou shalt say for me. Tarry his leisure then. Wait the appointed hour. Wait till the bridegroom of your souls reveal his love with power. The vision is for an appointed time, though it tarry, wait for it, it'll surely come, and it will not tarry. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace. The Lord, again, is very, very merciful. Ah, this comes to my mind. One's little personal experience. And I probably mentioned this in the past as well. But perhaps, you know, you think to yourself, the Lord has never shown you any mercy. You've never had any encouragement from his word. Well, there was two occasions when I was in the Air Force. One occasion was confined to camp, doing the duties in the camp, and I was in the cookhouse. I was put into the washroom where I was washing all these plates, etc. And I was very, very cast down. And perhaps, poor soul,
That's just where you are this morning. Your car's down. You can't say that the Lord has ever given you anything, ever shown you anything. His word's never been really blessed to you, and yet, oh, you believe deep down in your heart that there is a God in heaven and he does answer prayer, but he doesn't seem to answer my prayer. Well, it's how I was. And yes, and I've said before, I was all alone. But then the Lord broke into my heart with these words, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness." Oh, no, I didn't know my Bible very well. I went, finished duty, and found these words after a long while. Oh, friends, yes, this precious Bible and this precious word. Perhaps after all, the Lord does have a favour to me. Perhaps that's how you feel this morning, poor soul. Poor, tried, troubled soul. The second occasion, I used to get to Ponsard Road Chapel in northwest London. And there, my dear old servant, the late Mr. Windridge, I don't know what his text was, no idea. But I was feeling very, very cast down. I was a terrible sinner. And I felt my sinnership greatly. And he opened his sermon that Wednesday evening, something like this. "Perhaps there's a poor soul in here that says, the Lord has never shown me any mercy." Well, I was ready to cry out, "Yes, me." And he said this, "Isn't it a mercy that you're in the house of God this evening and not in a deserved hell?" Does that touch anybody here this morning? You feel so cast down because of all your sin and iniquity? You think the Lord's never shown you any mercy? Yes, oh, isn't there mercy? You're spared to see the light and dawn of this Sabbath day, to come into God's house. But no avail and grace. And dear soul, the Lord is working in your heart and you'll find grace. And the Lord will pardon sin and he will pardon iniquity. "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity, that passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage, who retains not his anger forever, because he delights in mercy?" Dear soul, this blessed Lord delights in mercy. He doesn't, as so many wicked people think today, that he delights in sending sinners to hell. He never does. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but he does take pleasure in the death of them that fear him. Oh, and it's this fear to offend his divine holy majesty. And there's this fear to walk. Yes, it's here in this subject. To walk with God. Yes. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Oh, that it may be so with each and every one here this morning, that they find grace in the eyes of the Lord. It is how Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners. And he doesn't, and he hasn't, and he will not change his mind. Then it is how come. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, they'll be red like crimson, they shall be at war. I leave the few simple thoughts this morning.
Connections last Lord's Day were £685, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Field will address the Sunday School and administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. Mr. Robert Field will address the prayer meeting tomorrow evening and preach for us on Tuesday evening. And next Lord's Day, Dr. Sadler will preach and address the Sunday School. All according to the Lord's will. And we hope to hold a collection next Lord's Day for the persecuted Christians in the Middle East. Let us close with hymn 961. Be still, my heart, these anxious cares to thee are burdens, thorns, and snares. They cast dishonour on thy Lord and contradict his gracious word. Hymn 961.
the grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ and the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, be with us all. Amen.